Hey everybody, this is Rob.
And this is Matt.
And you are listening to the spring music episode of Mind the Gap. There's a bunch of new music out by some of our favorite artists, so we thought we'd take a listen to a few tracks off the albums and share our thoughts. Matt, what do we got for them today?
Well, ladies and germs, nestle up with your favorite spring sampler, because we're bringing to you new albums from some of our favorites like Jay Maskus, Radiohead, R.E.M., Lupe Fiasco, Middle Brother, and The Strokes.
That's right, folks. We got tracks from each of them. We're going to give you our thoughts so you know where to spend those hard-earned American dollars. So stick around and stay tuned. Thanks.
Doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles. Wild geese that fly with the moon on the wing. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. Then I don't feel so bad. Yeah!
All right, everybody, that was a few of my favorite things covered by the band Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this episode 5 of Mind the Gap, our 5th episode, and thanks to everybody who's been downloading the old episodes. For anyone who checked out the hip-hop episode, I just want to report I am alive and well, Matt. I'm still kicking it. Gucci Man has not found me yet. He's not slain me. I do hope that I get shot. I'm not going to lie to you, Matt. That's the truth.
It'll raise your street cred a little bit. I don't know if Chi-Town's got enough street cred on it yet.
Well, you know, once we get to the new Lupe Fiasco, we might figure out why we're losing our street cred. But I don't want to move ahead too fast. No, Matt, you know, if I got shot and I didn't get killed, well, if I get shot, our show is going to be huge.
We get picked up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about, like, you know, NBC huge. But, I mean, I'm talking about we might get on NPR, maybe a late-night show on E! After Chelsea 8 lately. Maybe you'd get to meet her little midget. I think it'd be a good time.
I hate that woman and I hate her show.
Yeah, you know, I think we got that in common. We could do a whole episode about how we both hate Chelsea lately. But anyway, we're here for the 5th episode of Mind the Gap. On this episode, there were so many new things coming out in music this spring. We wanted to take a break from listening to each other's crap and just kind of acquaint ourselves with the new releases that were coming out by some of our mutual favorite artists. So that's what we're doing here today. And the first artist we're going to take a listen to is Mr. Jay Maskus. Now, Dinosaur Jr. is my absolute favorite band of all time. So rather than me regaling you with the intro, I'm going to have Matt do it in the interest of time. Matt, why don't you segue us into Jay Maskus's track?
Well, I first got my taste of Jay from Rob. He would play Where You Been, all sorts of old Dinosaur Jr. records for me when I was none but a couple years old. And then I heard him again when the Alien Workshop video came out not but a couple years ago, and Plans was like half the soundtrack. And I just was floored by the guitars and how awesome he was. And then, you know, if you know anything about me, you know, I'm kind of not a mopey guy, but I like a little bit more down-tempo music. So when I sunk my teeth into this album, I thought me and Jay had a personal connection, because this thing is just, it is acoustic gold. He really takes a step back from all those slangs he's done in the past and really kind of shows that he's got some picking in his blood, and he really shows he's got a good soul. And, you know, it's a more down-tempo record than, you know, his Dinosaur tracks of the past, but I definitely am going to get all the rest of the Jay Maskus discography after hearing this. And so without further ado, I'm going to just have us take a listen to Is It Done by Jay Maskus, with a nice little cameo by Ben Bridwell from Band of Horses, another one of my faves. So take a listen.
I got no need, I got nothing I could be. I got things that you should see. I went riding all around, let the past soak up the sound, tried to picture it going down. Come on away from me, is it done? 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 Felt the pull, I pulled away. We got nothing that I say. Still I feel it's not this way. Nothing's going down, can't seem to get it off the ground. Seeing if I come around. Come on away from me, is it done? Come on away from me, is it done? Come on away from me, is it done? Come on away from me. Is it done? Or is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you?
All right, and that was our boy Jay Maskus with Is It Done off his newest album, and I've talked a bit, so let's hear the old man's perspective on one of his old heroes.
You know what? A lot of times people have an issue with Jay Maskus, and I understand why. I've tried to make many people a Dinosaur Jr. convert in my days, and the guitar often gets in the way. There's a lot of shredding, and for me, that's always done it. Like, the hooks that Jay lays down on the guitar are phenomenal in the Dinosaur Jr. stuff. Been playing with Dinosaur Jr. since like 84, tons and tons of material. Broke up with Lou Barlow in the early 90s. Now he's back with Lou, and there's a bunch of new material, but it's all very guitar heavy. And in this album, Jay comes out as a songwriter. It's really stripped down and it's really acoustic, and I think it allows people an opportunity to see him for what he is, beyond a great guitar player, but also a great songwriter. And that's the thing I really enjoy about this album. I have a buddy, Brett, who I've been trying to turn on to Dinosaur Jr. for about a year now. And there have been songs that he loves, he appreciates that he can shred. But when he heard this album, I think he kind of started to get it. I mean, he may tell me I'm an absolute liar after he listens to this. But I think in this album, Jay as a songwriter shines. And his guitar playing is impeccable in it. But at the same time, the songs are just incredibly well crafted. Start to finish, it's just in a beautiful, beautiful acoustic rock album. Tons and tons of cameos. A new guy coming out, Kevin Vile, who's got a great little solo careers on it. Matt mentioned that Bridwell from Band of Horses is on it. Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene does some spot on the album. Like, all these new indie acts, they love Jay, and they're coming out in it in full force to support their heroes. So I cannot recommend this album enough. If you are a fan of Dinosaur Jr., it is a must own. But if you've always kind of wondered what the band was about, or if you just dig acoustic rock in general, it's definitely one you should pick up and download, because start to finish, it is an absolute delight. With that said, Matt, what do we got coming up next for the folks?
Next up, we got R.E.M. coming our way, and R.E.M. is definitely, for me, you know, being a 22-year-old youngster, I always, you know, I got the Everybody Hurts, that kind of R.E.M., and so when Rob said that they had a new album coming out, I thought, is he singing it from an old folks home? I mean, what the hell? But Michael Stipe came out of nowhere and definitely opened my eyes to an R.E.M. that I had no idea about.
It's an interesting thing, because when I was listening to R.E.M., R.E.M. was like my first favorite band. It was the first band, like, when I was into music, that I was all about. Like, it was my stand-in line the day tickets went on sale, go to the record store in ninth grade the day the album came out. But when I was listening to them, it was around the time that, like, Monster was released, and then later New Adventures in Hi-Fi. So at that point in time, I was similar to you with some of the acts I've asked you to listen to, where I was like the punk little kid listening to this grown-up music, and yet now here they are 30 years later still recording stuff. So I was super stoked to listen to this track, and I'm glad I got to kind of share this experience with you coming at it with fresh ears.
So without further ado, let's take a listen to the track discussion.
Hey, baby, if this is not a challenge, just means that I love you as much as I always said I did. I was wrong. I have been laughable wrong. Sand, paper, paper, machine, chalk. Afraid. I didn't have to feel so stupid. I can see myself. I can feel just the slightest bit of finesse. Might have made a big vast mess. But what's what it was? Let's all get on with it
Alright everybody, that was the song Discover off the new REM album Collapse Into Now. Like I said before we intro'd it, REM was one of my first favorite bands, and I have remained a fan ever since I discovered them when I was about 12, so 18 solid years now. The band was formed in 1980, 31 years ago. They've put out 15 albums, and it's been about an album every single 2 years. They've been on a major label since about 88 when they signed with Warner Brothers, and they keep cranking it out. This was actually my favorite album since New Adventures in Hi-Fi came out. I was a humongous fan of the album Automatic for the People, and that came out in like 91. And New Adventures followed after Monster. Not a huge Monster fan, but New Adventures I really, really like because I felt it captured the good elements of the REM folky side as well as Stipe's ability to rock out. It had a lot of energy, but at the same time it had a lot of sensibility to it. And I feel like this album has the exact same thing. This track is clearly a rocker, the one that we decided to play for you. But the single, which has been out for a while now, Oh My Heart, that is a real kind of a folkier number. Uberlin is a great track on the album. Just a lot of variety in the band. Absolute great album, start to finish. Each track is different from the next, but they all kind of, you know, contain that classic REM sound. But they're still, it's not repetitive. It's not like they're not branching out. I really, really enjoy this album. In the past, they've had a tendency to occasionally branch out too far and stray away from who they are, but I feel this is a really, really good album for a band that's been doing it for a long time, that's growing on who they are and kind of sticking to their guns. So that was my kind of overall thought of Collapse Into Now. Matt, what was your impression of the album?
Like I said before, I hadn't really dove too deep besides the mainstream REM I've heard from VH1 and whatnot and whatever you would play in the car. And I had to say, you know, at first listen, I was almost skeptic, because the first track, it took me, you know, almost 30 seconds to realize that it was Michael Stipe singing to me. But then, you know, as the CD kept going, you know, you do get that rootsy feel. And, you know, Stipe's a poet. He sings about it in his lyrics. You know, he really does. He values the artistic aspect. And you can tell he puts a lot of effort into his lyrics, into his harmonies. And I really, you know, especially on, you know, Uberlin, like Rob said, or Blue, which, you know, starts off with like this, you know, slam poet free verse kind of.
Yeah, Blue's a cool track. It actually contains a Patti Smith cameo similar to the single from New Adventures in Hi-Fi, Ebo the Letter. So anytime Michael and Patti get together, it's usually a pretty special track. So I'm glad you like that one.
Oh, yeah, it definitely, I mean, it jumps out at you for sure, because at first you're like, well, this is insane, but at the same time, it sounds damn good. It was definitely something that was easy for me to throw on and listen to and write a paper, and I was definitely changed on my views of REM. I mean, you hear of any band doing it for 30 years, you can only imagine, you know, all the turmoil that they went through, and, you know, it's awesome to see the guys still putting out records time in and time out, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. So I would definitely, if you love REM, you will love this album. If you like REM, you may love it. You definitely will like the album, and I highly recommend folks check it out. With that said, we're going to take a listen to a new album from Lupe Fiasco. This is his album Lasers. And the track Words I Never Said. So there's been a lot said in the magazines and on the blogs about this album. So let's take a listen to this track, and Matt and I will give you our thoughts.
On terror is a bunch of bullshit, just a poor excuse for you to use up all your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11 building 7, did they really pull it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your child's future was the first to go with budget cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the uppercut. The school was garbage in the first place, that's on the up and up. Keep you at the bottom, but tease you with the upper crust. You get it, then they move it, so you never keeping up enough. If you turn on TV, all you see's a bunch of what the fucks. Dude is dating so-and-so, blabbering about such and such. And that ain't Jersey Shore, homie, that's the news. And these the same people supposedly telling us the truth. Limbaugh is a racist, Glenn Beck is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed, Obama didn't say shit. That's why I ain't vote for him. Next one either. I'm a part of the problem. My problem is I'm peaceful, and I believe in the people. Yeah.
It's so bad.
And that was Words I Never Said by Lupe Fiasco. And for those of you out there, Lupe is, you know, one of the more alternative hip-hop acts out there. And through that, I've come to, you know and love his work, you know.
And by alternative, you, of course, mean hip-hop that white people like.
Exactly. Us hipsters can get down to.
Right.
And, you know, I love Lupe's, you know, The Cool and Liquor Store were both, like, awesome albums. You had Kick Push, which, you know, compared to the Avril Lavigne Skater Boy was, you know, the hardest thing to come out of a skate track, you know, in a while.
But that's a hard hill to climb.
Oh, so. I know. Skateboard is so hard in the paint. But the thing that I really didn't like about this album was I felt like Lupe lost that kind of artistic, creative, cool where he seemed like, you know, a smart inner city youth, and he kind of tried to overproduce it and almost kind of be like a young Kanye protege, and he tried to put out these pop tracks for the radio, and he really fell short because, you know, the lyricism wasn't there. There were certain parts where, yeah, Lupe, you know, spit pretty hard, but as a whole, I felt like it was just one more sample of, you know, some hot chick belting out an R&B track.
Well, that's it, Matt. I mean, this is by far the greatest Evanescence record I've ever listened to. I mean, that's really what it's...
I mean, I'm sure you can have this on in the car with your girlfriends and they'll think it's just great. But if you play this in front of your boys, I'm fairly certain you'd get a few questions about which way you swing. And frankly, I don't blame him because it's not a good record. I had to push myself to listen to all the tracks. I find myself wanting to skip through tracks. And, you know, with this show, I feel like we usually pick track, you know, CDs better than this. And I was fairly disappointed with Lupe. I thought that
he really
straight outside of what was his niche. And he really needs to come hard with an EP soon if he really wants to salvage his name. Because this is pure radio pop rap bullshit.
You know, I mean, the long and short of it is a lot of people took issue. And, you know, very few people are willing to question what Jay-Z does. I think he has a lot of credibility, and I think a lot of people give him the benefit of the doubt. But a lot of people, when he released Forever Young as a single, really went pretty hard on bashing it. And this album is one Forever Young after another. I have no problem with people making an anthem. I have no problem with people making the overproduced, super huge pop smash featuring the guest vocalist. But every song on this album is trying so hard to be the next Empire State of Mind, and it just falls so incredibly short. He's not doing the things he's good at. He's not featuring his rhyming style. He's not featuring his playfulness. I understand that he has a lot of, you know, serious ideas he wants to share. He's the son of a former Black Panther. Well, I mean, he's the son of a Black Panther. And, I mean, he has a lot of activism in his blood, and he wants to do culturally smart hip-hop, and I understand all that. But at the same time, like, he just comes off almost as ignorant in how simplistic this album is. I don't need a sample of a machine gun going off to understand what a bullet is. And on that track, when you hear him say, you know, to buy up all the bullets, like, you hear a machine gun in the background. Really, I just don't think it's necessary.
And it was just a little, like, too much walk your hand through everything, whereas before he had, like, some artistic credibility instead of saying, you know, like you said, the sample of, oh, bullet, like, it's just silly nonsense crap. He really kind of let himself down on just writing a good album.
Yeah, there's just a ton of rap rock cliches that I thought pop music had grown out of, and he just seems to be embracing them tenfold. I mean, the best song on this album, I thought, was When I Get There, and it's the least produced, most simplistic song. It's him rhyming. It's got an old school beat behind him. It's the great stuff that you love from The Cool and Food and Liquor that is just totally missing from this album. And I know everyone's been bashing on the album and saying it's overproduced, where is he in it? And I don't want to just adopt the opinions of other people. But at the same time, when I listen to this, I just think it just seems like he's stretching so far. It just seems like a real lack of control. It just seems like really formulaic hip-hop. It's, if we make 12 singles on an album, one of them's got a hit, and I don't feel like any of them are single-worthy. I don't feel like there's any commitment at all to this music. I just feel like it's, you know, kind of manufactured paint-by-numbers nonsense and shoved out there. But with that said, I think we've certainly gone on this long enough. Matt, what do we got next for the folks to listen to?
Next up, we're going to be taking a gander at Radiohead's newest, and we're going to have us play Little by Little off the King of Limbs. Radiohead's been killing it for years and years, so tune into this tasty little number.
Don't you nasty love the dust.
Song Little by Little off Radiohead's album King of Limbs. I am a big Radiohead fan. I have been since about the ninth grade. Like all my other seventh grade classmates at Holmes Middle School, the Holmes Hawks to be precise, I did purchase Pablo Honey in the seventh grade off the single Creep. And I listened to that single a whole bunch and let it collect dust. Maybe I'd listen to Anyone Can Play Guitar a little bit. But when the Bends came out, man, I saw the video for High and Dry and Fake Plastic Trees, and that shit just blew me away. And I got so into that album, I went back to Pablo Honey, kind of rediscovered that. At one point in time, I think I sent a mixtape to my girlfriend who was at a camp with me singing over High and Dry, and really, I was a smooth operator. That's...
Oh, Rob, that sounds pretty weak.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. That just shows you I could get girls, but I would quickly lose them through weird stunts like that. When OK Computer came out, man, even though I was on vacation with my folks, I made sure I got it. And that was in the summer between 10th and 11th grade. And that album just knocked my goddamn socks off. And I wore that shit out. I think I bought it two or three times. But after that point in time, man, I'm not going to lie to you, Matt, they really kind of lost me. I've always felt like the little boy in the crowd of The Emperor's New Clothes, where I'm the only one that can see the king is naked. Like, I don't get it. I miss singer-songwriter Radiohead. I miss kind of standard rock track written Radiohead. I mean, I get that it's smart, but, they lose me. And this album's no exception. It's certainly the new breed of Radiohead, even though every rock magazine totes every new rock Radiohead album as... Return to form Radiohead. Radiohead's back to being a rock band. And I don't know why they are acting like the old shit was bad when they went and told me it was brilliant 2 years ago. But anyway, once again, it's definitely not a return to form Radiohead, not the Radiohead of my youth. But I really do love this album. I think it's great start to finish. We complain so much, Matt, on the show about albums just being too goddamn long. And this album's only 8 tracks. Each track's about 3.5 to 4 minutes. I think the song Codex is one of the most beautiful pieces of music written by Tom York and the band. I think it's great. I dig the album start to finish. I think it's got a nice flow. And I'm interested, as a big Radiohead fan yourself, but someone who kind of came into it about 9 years after me, what your thoughts are on the new album.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, being a young buck I am, I got into it a little late in the game, but don't get me wrong. I've been listening to, since Amnesiac, Hail to the Thief era, and I have a Hail to the Thief poster up in my room right now. I mean, I will listen to that album, at least once a month. And with this album, like you said, people, you miss the singer-songwriter days. But granted, Tom York wasn't on the cover of In Touch at your local newsstand. You know, he wasn't the pseudo-celebrity he is now. I mean, I feel like York's at the point in his career where he sees that, and he sees that he needs to kind of step out and do something a little different artistically each time, to remind people that he is goddamn brilliant, you know?
Yeah, but there's like experimentation for the point of experimentation, and then there's experimentation for the point of melody. And sometimes I think they walk that line in their favor, and I think Hail to the Thief's a great example of where it works. And sometimes it's just too goddamn much, man, and it's too fucking weird. And I mean, that's where I erred on Kid A, dude. I mean, I gotta be honest, like, that shit, I still don't get it.
Okay, I to this day do not enjoy that album, but at the same time, this album is beautiful. It's just not what we were expecting from a Radiohead record, and I think that's why we're having our problems with it. But like you said, Codex is just it's a symphony, and little by little, it has that kind of driving force behind it as, say, a 2 + 2 = 5, but at the same time, Morning Mr. Magpie is just this kind of original synthy electro pseudo ambient,
Yeah, it's a cool tune.
I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, it's a cool tune. It's a cool tune. Well, I think, we're kind of in the same park here. If you were ever a Radiohead fan, I think this is a good album to own. I'd definitely pick it up. I actually think it's worth purchasing. You don't need to illegally download it. Your $9.99 Amazon gift card will be well spent on it. If you've not become that familiar with Radiohead over the years, I might go back, take a look at the Bends or OK Computer before I ran out and got this one. I think it's something that the fans are sure to enjoy, but definitely beyond the reach of a Radiohead novice, I'd say. And with that said, Matt, what do we got up next for the folks?
Next up, we have the this new pseudo kind of super group, but nobody's really that big in their own right, folky kind of thing going on. It's Middle Brother, headed up by the lead guys from Dawes, Delta Spirit, as well as Deer Tick, who has been showcased on this show before. And as a fan of both Delta Spirit and Deer Tick, I was really excited about this album. But we'll get it into the actual album a little bit later. These guys are kind of a folky, you know, getting down to that, you know, country roots, even though none of them are really that country in their hipster threads. But yeah, let's take a listen to Middle Brother and see what you guys think.
All right, folks, here's Blue Eyes. Grab your belt buckles and get ready to boot Scoot Boogie.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And that was Blue Eyes off of the debut album by Middle Brother. And like we said before, Middle Brother is a little bit of a hodgepodge of creative thinkers. We have the lead singers from all those other bands. And one of the first things that I really noticed when I got into this album is, one, they really kind of tried to do it two period. They tried to do this kind of folky, back-in-the-day, Bob Dylan kind of track. But when you do it in 2011, you fail.
I think it's even older than Bob, Matt. I think they're going back to, like, I mean, they're flat-out Americana, like, oh, brother, where art thou stuff on here, dude. I mean, it is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, it's just almost, like, too folky. Like, you're not good at it. You're good at your indie rock. You're good at your kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of in their individual bands doing indie rock with a country slant. But this is just like straight up bluegrass, and to me it's just, it just seems kind of fake and forced, and it doesn't it just seems like, you know, hipster nonsense, and that's kind of my only thought on it. And the other thing is, it's like too many cooks in the kitchen. It's every song, it's a different dude singing, and I get that's what a super group's about, but at the same time, like, I don't feel like there's any creative benefit from them all being in the same band together. Like, I know Conor Oberst, he did this series called, it was like the Home Volume series, where like each dude and lead singer Death Cab did it too, Ben Gibbard, and basically each dude brought their songs and they partnered up with a buddy who would play along. But it was their songs, and that's what these are like. So I don't get the point of like masquerading like you're a band, because it's just not the feel you get from this record at all.
No, definitely. And I mean, these guys are extremely talented, but I feel like each one of them had kind of an idea of what they wanted to do, and when they put it all together, it didn't work cohesively, and it kind of just, like you said, there was just hipster forced bullshit kind of. Where they really should have tuned down the twang and, you know, kind of focused more on making a good sounding record instead of just a period piece, you know? I feel like these guys are trying to slap on, you know, a vest and, you know, a monocle and hang out like they're the Monopoly Man. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, if you're a fan of Deer Tick, and we are, man, I mean, we had very positive things to say about Deer Tick, and I know personally, and the people I've talked to that listen to the show, you know, we turned a few folks on to Deer Tick, which is great. And, you know, I dig Delta Spirit a lot. I think I played them for you over Thanksgiving, you know, as a new band that I was listening to. But I don't care for this album at all. And I'm a fan of both bands. So I'd steer clear of it, folks. I mean, if you love these bands more than life itself, then it may be something that's worth your time. But I'm usually pretty wary of the supergroup, and this is absolutely no exception. I mean, if you thought Monsters of Folk was not all that good and clearly not the sum of its parts, which is the way I feel, this is definitely in the exact same category. All right, up next we're going to take a listen to The Strokes. This is the single they released with the album. We're playing it because it's the only song we can really stand on the album, which we will get into more when we give you our thoughts. So let's take a listen to it. Track Under Cover of Darkness off The Strokes' brand spanking new album, Angles. I know what you folks are thinking after Lupe Fiasco. Rob and Matt, you guys be some unoriginal son of a bitches. Everyone's been hating on that album. You're just mimicking the fine folks at Spin Magazine as well as Rolling Stone. Well, folks, to be honest with you, we do have an original thought here. A lot of people like this Strokes album, and I absolutely hate it.
No, Rich.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. So we're gonna be, once again, the little boy who cries out that the emperor is naked, folks. Julian Casablanca is walking, or Casablancas, I apologize. It's one too many syllables for the good kid here. He is walking stark-ass buck naked down the middle of Broadway Avenue in New York. Not a big fan of the record. I feel it is a deviation from what they do well, which is to rip off other people. And I mean that with the utmost sincerity. I like the Strokes when they are doing awesome ripoffs of Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. That is the Strokes that I know and love. Like, this is it, is the shit. But the great thing about the Strokes, I started listening to them in college, is everyone loved that album. No one was like all about the band. They were great albums, they were great tunes, but I think everyone acknowledged it wasn't their art form. They were just biting an art form from the 70s, stealing a style and sense long forgot, and cranking out some great tunes. Now, not only do they want to write their own music, which it ends up not being their own music, there's one point in the album where they're stealing songs from Radiohead. I mean, it's just a flat-out Hail to the Thief ripoff on there. And everyone in the band decides that they need to write and have a creative voice, which is great. I dig it when people all write tunes in a band and challenge one another. It doesn't sound like anyone is challenging anyone here because this album just really isn't that good. And I understand that they originally recorded an album, didn't like the masters, scrapped it, and started all over. I would hate to hear what they scrapped. Because, frankly, this album, I don't feel like it sounds like one particular band. And I don't want to stifle anyone's creativity. You want to put together a whole bunch of different sounds. Your art takes you in many different directions. That's fine. I don't think the Strokes know who they are. Like I said, I think they got started, Matt, like ripping off the 70s, you know, proto-punk era of, like, you know, MC5 and the Stooges.
Exactly.
And now they're tired of being
energetic, grungy guitar riffs.
Right.
Kind of a drawly, you know, almost Ron Dowd
vocalist where you're not sure if he's going to remain conscious the whole show. It has this like depth and dirtiness to it. And now I feel like they're all just a bunch of art school dropouts with too much, you know, creativity and not enough direction.
Right. I think now that Drew Barrymore isn't sleeping with half or all of them, I lost count around number two, you know, I think they got a lot of idle time on their hands and they're like, you know what, we can make our own sound here. And I don't think they know what that is as a band. I mean, I don't want to be overly presumptive, but if they do, it does not come across on this record. I mean, so infrequently do we pick this single. I think we make a conscious effort on the show, Matt, to highlight other tracks people may not have heard.
We're actually fairly non-single-based people. I tend to be a little bit of a kind of a snob and kind of not like singles because I have to listen to them so much. But on this one, we really had no other choice because all the other songs just didn't really seem like they could be played and sound well on the radio. They just were kind of hodgepodge, you know, guitar.
Right. I love the Violent Femmes, but I haven't listened to Blister in the Sun since the eighth grade on a matter of principle. You know, I skip right on to the next track. You know, and so, I mean, like, on this album, though, it was really the only track I could play that I wouldn't feel like an asshole for making people listen to. Because this track belongs on This Is It. This track is a classic example of them just playing garage rock, MC5, Stooges ripoff, you know, and that's the stuff I want from them. The new stuff, I mean, I like to hear their own voice. I don't think they know what it is yet. And I think bringing more cooks into the kitchen, and I hate to use that phrase twice in one episode, but, well, you know.
I use hodgepodge, man. It's totally cool.
It's cool. I don't even know how to. Does hodgepodge have a hyphen?
I think it might. I think it's a slash.
There you go, a slash. Maybe.
But, I feel like, as sad as it is to say, Casablancas is really the most talented out of all of them. Because, yeah. I mean, in his own right, he seems like an outright twat. But he also, I mean, he is talented because he wrote those other two albums by himself. And when he gave the other ones the opportunity of, you know, having some direction with it, it seems like they went too many. It really just kind of goes right, left, and forward all at the same time. And as a listener, you don't know which way to tune in, and you really just kind of get lost.
And while Casablancas is a talent, I think the best thing he's done in a long time is the Boombox SNL digital short with Andy Samberg. I mean,
that's because Andy Samberg is a better musician than he is.
There you go. And speaking of television, Matt, this is called The Art of the Segway. We're at the end of our episode, and why don't you share with people our kind of final thought, what you're kind of looking forward to in music in the days to come here?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm, you know, monstrously big My Morning Jacket fan. Jim James is my boy. And I was, you know, watching some VH1, and as we all know, music television has gone downhill in the past few years.
Downhill, dude, actually, it has jumped off the rim of the fucking canyon.
It's no longer music television, it's reality television. And I'm glad to see that they're actually bringing back something good, and that's VH1 Storytellers. And, you know, My Morning Jacket is on there. They leaked their rendition of Golden for the episode, which, you know, gets you really juiced up because Golden's a phenomenal track. And you just get those little snippets of why the song was written, you know. Like him talking about conversations with the grandmother that, you know, as a musical enthusiast, you love hearing that stuff because it kind of helps you get more in tune to the song and really understand it a little bit more through the songwriter's eyes. And I couldn't be more ecstatic. I know that by the time we get this edited and out on the airwaves, the CeeLo Green episode is either going to have played or be playing. And, you know, as much as I love the Goody Mob and all of Barkley and CeeLo, I'm much more excited for My Morning and some of the, I think, Death Cab's even on there. They have a whole all-star lineup for it, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, that sounds great, you know. And just to keep with the theme of things that you're looking forward to, I'm very interested in a little scientific experiment I'm going to be having going on this fall, Matt. When I was a kid, when I was about 5 years old, before you were even, or your sister was even, a glimmer in mom's eye, I was a huge, huge Monkees fan. And I had the
opportunity... Hey, with the Monkees!
There you go. And I had the opportunity to rewatch the Monkees when I was in college, and I realized that it sucks. It is absolutely terrible. And one of my other favorite shows of my childhood, of course, a kid growing up, going to middle school
in the mid-90s, early 90s, I was a big Beavis and Butthead fan. I used to draw them all the time on my notebooks with sidewalk chalk wherever I could. Nothing illegal. And they are coming out with brand new Beavis and Butthead episodes this fall. So I am interested. I don't know if I'm excited is the right word, but I'm interested in running the experiment to see whether or not it holds up. I'm assuming it may not, but I may be pleasantly surprised by Mike Judge and the boys. I know that
Mike Judge is fully like repping it, like it's going to be old school format, and I feel like it's kind of MTV's idea. Like they're finally realizing that their public image has become something that they did not initially set out for, and they're kind of trying to go back to their roots, and that's also pretty rad.
Yeah, no, doing the original formula is good for my experiment. I don't know if it's necessarily good for the show. We'll see if it holds up.
We'll see how it goes, because Beavis and Butthead in the 21st century, all 2011 down, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so with that, that's our final thought for the episode, which means we are at the end of our episode. But now that we've come to the end of our episode, as is our format, Matt and I will be sharing our picks for the next episode. And Matt, what is it that you would like me to take a listen to between now and then, buddy?
Well, for this summer sampler, there won't be any summer shandies. It's all that goodness. We got Bon Iver coming out with the first full-length LP since For Emma Forever Ago. His self-titled album is fantastic. I've already been blowing it out up at Plus and wherever else. Very, very lovely record. And then I got My Morning Jacket. They just released a new one, Circuit Tao, which is very cool, very cool. And then also we're going to take a listen to my Manchester Orchestra. They just recently played a show in Detroit, which I was unfortunately not well enough off to go to, but their album Simple Math is fantastic, and I want you to take a listen to it. So, Rob, what do you have for my eardrums?
Matt, I'm going to ask you to take a listen to, and I got a little theme I'm running with here. I'm calling it my so-called gap, and these are some of the early 90s sensitive indie stars that I'm big fans of.
You're just a delicate little flower.
I really am just a sensitive little bunny in a field. I'm going to ask you to take a listen to Belly, the band Belly. This is actually the first female artist I've asked you to take a listen to. And their album Star. I'm going to also ask you to take a listen to Buffalo Tom and their album Big Red Letter Day. And then, in my opinion, one of the five greatest albums of the 90s. I think it stands up there with any or almost any Nirvana or Pearl Jam album, and that's the Lemonheads' It's a Shame About Ray. Just a really, really good album. So those are the three I want you to take a listen to. If you folks at home want to take a listen to them and come to our next episode with your own notes in hand, that's more than okay. But thank you so much for tuning in. As always, folks, you can check us out on Facebook. Check us out on mindthemusicalgap.blogspot.com. You can make comments there. Let us know what you like, what you want us to do, what you don't want us to do. We're open to any and all constructive criticism as long as it is.
And attractive women's phone numbers.
Matthew is open to that. I'm cool. I'm cool,
you're
folks.
You're a happily married man.
I'm incredibly, incredibly happy. But with that said, thank you so much, folks, for tuning in, and we will see you somewhere over the rainbow. All right, till next time.
Peace, Kermit.